Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. Yeah, we'll go ahead and get going and realize and understand that.
Low number and high in quality.
We'll keep it going. We're going that way. You know, last week we talked a little bit about Paul talking to Timothy and where he left Timothy and what Timothy's job was where Paul had left him, but they had to be together or get together. And I'm not sure that worked out because of 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. They may not have gotten back like to get together before Paul was not here anymore. We only got through one verse of Scripture, but I'll just read it back again anyway. And I'll read 14, and then we'll do 15 and 16 will get us through the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, but they're not together. Paul and Timothy is not together, and that's the need for the epistles there, that because the epistle, the last words basically that Paul wanted to leave to young Timothy, because Paul had got kind of a deal from God talking about Timothy, and I guess it was a situation where Timothy was going to be the one that was basically to carry this on down through the timeline there. So it says in 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. He's talking to Timothy here, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the Spirit. Well, the laying on of the hands time is basically passed on, but when Timothy got his circumcision, I suppose that was a laying on of the hands too there also, but Timothy hadn't been circumcised, and here Paul is dealing both with the Israelites and also with the Gentiles, and so he felt it necessary, especially for the Israelite people, that he would be not counted foolish because he hadn't had him circumcised. So this Paul's little deal, call him my son in the faith, because went and did what Timothy's father didn't do for him during that time. But anyway, Paul must have gotten some kind of a deal from the Lord about Timothy. And even though the Holy Spirit was already in Timothy, the laying on of the hands could have moved that needle from Jew to Gentile or Gentile to Jew, whichever way Paul was working him in that situation. But he was at Ephesus trying to keep those people straight down over there. So this is, and so we'll get to 15 and start with 15. And today's study is 144 in our study of wisdom and looking at Jack's Workman's Interlinear. And so 15 reads from the King James Version this way: meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. And I guess you could add that to all people or all men. So it wasn't hurt the ministry to have that circumcision done. So that's where we come to there. Meditate upon these things. And this is my notes. To bring yourself to give your mind and heart to get to immerse oneself into the work which you've learned as your calling into the body of Christ. This is part of your testimony. And it must be endowed by the power of Christ unto you. So as can be seen as progress used as a profit unto you, so as can be, well, can be used as a profit that others under this, that was my notes that I had written, and then we'll look at, as we always do, we'll look at Jack's here, and it's out of the Koine Greek. It says, of the in you gift, which was given you through prophecy, with laying upon of hands of the elders. And then down to the more modern English, it says, be not negligent of the gift that is in you, which was given you through prophecy with the laying on of hands of the elders. So evidently that circumcision didn't count as laying on of hands that he had. So this was at a different time when Paul felt necessary to add the presbytery to this group of people that did the laying on of hands, although this was a dispensational thing that, of the past. And so Jack says this in his notes, don't be negligent. Paul tells Timothy, but the linear tense indicates that Timothy is in the state of timidity and neglect. So I don't know what caused them to think that Timothy had kind of fluffed around a little while maybe, but they felt like maybe he wasn't putting all he needed to do into the ministry where he's at.
I think there's a word there, is timidity, where he was timid, real timid, probably because of his youth.
Yeah. Well,
you're really a young guy next to Paul.
Yeah. As a fact that Timothy has a gift. More specifically, the gift was made known to Paul through prophecy. Then Paul and the elders laid their hands on Timothy. Some expostulate from the verse that all of God's people have certain gifts and that they should not neglect the gifts which God has given them. But that, as it may, such idea cannot be sanctioned from this verse, as this is a specific, particular situation pertaining directly to Timothy, to Paul, and the elders involved. So I think that's the reason Paul had it done. It was something that God had told him that he didn't really relate to Timothy exactly, I guess, what it was. Maybe didn't need to have that done, but anyway, that was the situation. And so we got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, we got 4 places here we need to look at that Brother Jack wanted us to look at here. And we'll start with there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. About 5 places, I guess. Okay. Let's go back to the, verses of scripture. Let's go back to Psalms 1 and look at Psalms 1 and 2. Page 723 if you're running a companion Bible. 723. Is that it? No, that's 37. Is that one? There we go. This was it. Okay. Psalms 1, 1 and 1, 2 says this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So this is what Jack wanted us to see in Psalms there. Then we go Psalms to Joshua. And Joshua.
It's on the front side of the song.
No. Yes, Joshua's before Psalms?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't get it in. I didn't get it in order then, so.
It's 14. Probably this one. Try that. There you go.
Yeah. Joshua 1:8, page 291. If I'd have looked at the numbers, I could have known the difference. The book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. It said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to what is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I'll just read 9. It says, have not I thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither before the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So that was what he left us with in Joshua. So let's go from Joshua, and the rest of it is in Timothy. Second Timothy. So we go by beyond First Timothy. And then Second Timothy 2:16, 15 and 16. 2:15 and 16. And we know that one kind of by heart. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Okay, that's the first one in Timothy. And the next one is Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, 9. Well, 3, 9, and 10, I think. It says, that's on page 1812 if you have a companion Bible. That's fully known my doctrine, the manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. You fully know my teaching, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, and afflictions which came unto me in Antioch and at Lystra. What persecution here? But out of them all, Paul said, the Lord hath delivered me.
Even out of a stoning.
Out of them all. Yeah. It took care of all of that. He said to meditate upon these things. Remember these things that I'm telling you, boy. Because you know, I put the load on your shoulders. That's basically what he's telling him in so many words here for that. Now let's go to 16. This is the last verse in 1 Timothy 4. Let me turn back to get it where I'm at, because I'm two or three pages ahead of myself. James, take heed to unto the doctrine or the teachings that we just talked about. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So this was some more groundwork that Paul was laying to Timothy. He said, get out of the funk you're in, and whatever it is that the Lord was not really pleased with, maybe. But, you know, to get back where you were. Because man does that sometimes. Everybody don't have a good day or a good thing going. Yeah. And to feel for yourself is something that we all do a little bit. We have what we call a pity party.
Yeah, what Dorothy used to call it.
And I knew I picked it up from somebody.
Yeah, it was Dorothy.
I couldn't remember where. But anyway, this is kind of what's going on here. So take heed unto thyself. For Paul is telling Timothy to care for yourself, boy. Care for yourself. And unto the doctrine of the teachings. Not only do you need care for yourself, but you need to take care of the Word. Both is important. The care for your body and the teaching. This is the most two important things that we can tell you. Is to take care of the teaching and take care of yourself to where you can teach. Continue in them. And this is what we can call the truth and the testimony. Because your testimony is necessary and the truth is very important. It's very necessary. Both are necessary because both save. And I put in my notes, so save both. Both save, so save both. That's a pretty good motto.
Yep.
You know. And so we'll get to Jack's notes and what it come out of the Koine Greek. It says, these things, meditate in these things. These things, meditate, things be, that your prayers may manifest to be to all. I didn't do a very good job of that, but it says, In the more modern English, in these things meditate, that in these your progress may be manifest to all men. We could put that in there. So the things Paul had mentioned to Timothy, it would be wise to meditate in. The language seems to say, be in these things. To meditate is to put head and heart and head together to plumb the depths of the matters of His Word. Out of this concentration and immersion in His Word will come progress. All will see the results of the glory of God. Through this is specific. Certainly, the counsel here is so broad and strong that they may well apply unto all body members. Nothing poor can come out of meditation on God's Word, on His Word. And there's three places here that we need to look at. four places. Yeah, sometimes you'll double up on it, and you think it's three, but it winds up being more than that. Okay. What we're going to look at first is back to Psalms again. Jack was kind of hung up on Psalms last week. And again, let me find it. This is Psalms 18. Yeah, you got that one. Psalms 18, 35 and 36. 35 and 36 of Psalms 18 on page 736, if you have a companion Bible. It says, Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holded me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. 37 says, I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. So, if the Lord's will is giving you those directions like that, it's going to be profitable. Okay, now the next one is in Proverbs, page 870. If you have a companion Bible. We'll get there in a minute. And it's Proverbs. Proverbs 4:23. 8 says, Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. And put away thee a forward mouth. Because, you know, I've always been told that what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. So you have to be careful with that. And perverse lips are from thee. So, here, he's telling Timothy to take care of the things of the heart, watching, and take care of them. Okay, the next one is in the book of Acts. Book of Acts, 19:22. That's 15. Okay, let me get 19 going here. There it is. A little marker. So it says, in Acts 19:20, it says, So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So they were, that was where they was having the book burning. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia to Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, After I have been there, I must see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus, and Esdras, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So, you see, Paul used Timothy in a lot of different ways, and one of them was his courier, or maybe the front man, or the lead man, or maybe the one that stayed behind it. They wasn't together all the time, but the situation was with them, and going down through the Acts period, that they, together, they could put forth a pretty good idea of what was going on with the people in different places that they were serving. And so that was part of that. Now, that was Acts 19:22, and we're going to look at Philippians 2:15-16. So we're going to go on over to Philippians. Philippians 2. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not either labored in vain. So, this is what Paul is giving Timothy is, and us too, as groundwork for what is being put forth here in 1 Timothy 4:16. So, we have finished, finally, 1 Timothy 4, which was put there to let us know and to understand that in the latter times that some would leave or depart from the faith, and giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devil and of the devil. And so Timothy was left in Ephesus to make sure that those people preached what God had given or what God had sent them to get and to understand. And so the rest of the bigger part of the whole of Timothy 4 was the fact of doing the fact of getting ready, getting Timothy back in line again, and get him on the right track to do that that God would have him to do. But it didn't stop there. It went on to the next chapter, 1 Timothy 5. How much time we got, Ron?
It's 9:04.
Yeah, we can get at least one in here. Okay. So we're going to go back to the King James Version and look at 5:1. And Paul is telling Timothy to, when you do these things, to take heed to yourself, to take care of yourself, continue in the teaching, and if you do all these things the way that God wants you to do it, then it's going to pay off. It will pay off to God, and it will pay off to you. And he also says this, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, So this little journey of whatever it took to get Timothy straightened out kind of goes on for a little ways, or maybe for a great way here in 1 Timothy 5. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren. So, rebuke not an elder. And so, Paul is telling Timothy, these elders need to be treated with love and compassion and exhortation, not to be brought down in any way.
And even respect.
Yeah.
I think there's an element of respect there.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's to remember your place in the pecking order here. I put it this way. They're not to be dressed down or disrespected, but to hold up in respect. And treat or look upon him as a father and as one should, and the younger men exhort them as an equal to yourself, or more importantly, to look at them as a brother. That you can't set yourself in a higher plane than they do and expect to really get along and to do what it is that God has sent you to do with them. So we're gonna, I gotta turn the page here. To chapter 5 says this: elder not rebuke, but rather exhort as father, younger as brothers. Rebuke not an elder, but rather exhort as a father, younger as brothers. So it is not proper or godly for a young man to rebuke an elder. Total agreement is not required of the younger. He is even allowed to exhort the elder. Further, he must regard the elder in the same light as of a father. He must obey if he cannot change the elder's mind. If the elder is patently wrong, he cannot treat him with respect, but he should humbly exhort. And then there's three places that Jack to look there, but let's look at them. And it deals with Acts and Titus and 1 Peter. Acts 14. Turn back with me to Acts 14. Acts 14:23. You're talking about, this goes back to the elder thing. And it said, when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed and fasted, they commended them to the Lord of whom they believed. And this was in Pisidia. It said, and after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. So they was confirming souls of the disciples and exhorted them to continue in the faith. And that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That is generally the situation that they found themselves in much tribulation dealing with the kingdom of God. died because these people did not believe or sometimes didn't want to believe. Okay, let's go to Titus. And so we're going from one dispensation to another. And we'll get over here to Titus. And in Titus 2:2-3. I'm going to read Titus 2:2-3 again because the other two places in the next two verses goes back to the same thing. Titus 2:2-3. But we will start with one. It said, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, because this is going to be brought up in the next two verses, whether we do them today or the next time. But I wanted you to see that and understand now. But we missed one. Let's go back to Titus 1:5 before we leave there. And it says in Titus 1:5, for this cause I left thee in Crete. And this is Paul talking to I don't know who he's talking to here. Is he talking to Titus?
Mm-hmm.
For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as had appointed thee. And then we should have read 2:2-3. So, got the cart before the horse. Okay. And then we go from there to 1 Peter 5 and look at 5 and 6. And let's look at 5 and 6. And he says, likewise, ye younger, Peter does, said, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So that was that in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 5.
1 Peter 5,
yeah. So that's what we got in the first verse of 1 Timothy 5. So talking about don't rebuke the elder and take care of him as you would your father, and also the younger in his household as being a brother to you. And we got enough time to do one more.
It's 9:14.
Okay, we can do one more. We've already kind of got it started. Let's get back to, let's go back to the second verse in the King James Version. It says, the elder women as mothers. So it goes on from the elder, or from the man to the woman's part of it. the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. So, in my notes there, I come up with the elder women, such as grandmothers, great-grandmothers, or aunts, those who might be living with family because of need, and that still goes on today. A lot of people, the grandmother is kind of the head of household a lot of times. It was in my situation when I was growing up. My grandmother was pretty much over me from the time I was 8 years old to the time I was 18. Well, almost 18 years old. So, and Grandpa was there some, but then he passed away. And then Grandmother took over because my father was gone a lot. And state most of the time. And so this is near and dear to me. But either such as grandmothers, great-grandmothers, or aunts, or those who might be living with the family because of need, I said, show respect as one would show to your mother. Give them the same opportunity to head you the way your mother would if she was there. Sometimes the grandmothers have to do the raising. I can tell you that for a fact.
Well, it's probably a lot more common today than it was in your day.
Yeah. Show respect as one would show to your mother. The younger women, look upon them as sisters or nieces with all purity, as one as you would look upon a sister that was a virgin. It wouldn't be any different. And again, this goes back to Titus 2:3. We just read it, so we wouldn't be any real need to do that again. But we'll just read 3 because I've got my notes here, and that'll end up with what I really want to say here. But 3, it says, honor widows that are widows indeed. That's the King James Version. But here's my notes. Honor or give full esteem to widows who are widows indeed. Or if they're truly a widow indeed, surely one can obtain love and knowledge from her. She should become the grown-up in your life, or you should let or allow her to be the grown-up in your life. Because young people need grown-ups in their life. And it certainly gets to be...
They can raise themselves, but the outcome ain't going to be too good.
Not generally. And so... That was the first part of that. Let's see, verse 3 of 5. I turned one page too many. Verse 1 to verse 3. Okay, Jack says this in his notes, and we'll close. It said the body of Christ has always been solicitous of its widow population. So, in all these things that we've talked about, and all these things that we've understood, that Paul realizes he needs to tell Timothy, is let's never forget those women that are in need and wouldn't have a place to go to or a place to stay without taking up residence really didn't plan to begin with, but did. So the widow population, the priorities of those who have no means of support, at various times in church history, the widows have occupied various stations in the assemblies. Sometimes the widows were enlisted in the care of orphans or other indigents, other people that had needs that wasn't being taken care of. In some cases, they were even given certain special statuses in the assembly. However, these instances are matters of local and temporary practices. But nevertheless, you can get all kinds of good understanding from a good woman that's taking care or being as a leader of a household, and I can tell you for a fact that it works. It did for me. And we've got two or three places we can read, but we'll hold that for the next study, because there's not three or four places there that we need to look at. But remember that these people are acting on your behalf in most cases as grown-ups for you that are not there. And that's what we need to remember when we're ministering to people. Well, where are you living? Who's taking care of you? And what they're telling you? What's going on at your place? And a lot of times that's good for people, for young people that need to know this, that have been thrust into some kind of something that they have no control over. And I didn't have real control over it. My dad, he mostly thought of himself. He didn't really give too much thought about me, because he knew somebody was there to take care of me. He wasn't going to do it anyway, even if he was there. So that's just the truth. I mean, and I'm not taking, saying specifically bad things of my dad, but that's just the way he was. And so I wound up or grew up kind of laying all that on the war effort. Because, man, early on, all I knew was there's a war going on and it's bad, and it looks like everything, the war has just kind of swallowed everything else up in it. So I got that impression kind of early in my life. And I look at these televisions now where the Russians are bumming these people out of their homes, out of their schools, out of their stores, vehicles and trains and everywhere else, and all you see is these black holes in a wall where there ain't nothing left but the shell of what had been some kind of building. And I'm 84 years old, but I still sit there and it brings back memories that brings tears to my eyes. I can't help it. That made an impression upon me when I was 6 or 7 years old. And
yeah, I never thought about how when you're that young, you only get the perception of what war is. You don't really understand behind it, how it affects kids.
Yeah, and see, what was happening to me, the war was involved at that with dad and mom, you know. And so, therefore, it kind of looked like to me for a while there that, you know, we were out of control. Real control over what was going on.
Kind of riding along.
And my situation, see, I went back from having running water, bathroom in the house, and all this. And when I come back to Grandma's, there was no running water, no electricity, no bus.
Like stepping back 100 years in the...
Well, it was traumatic for me to have to walk to school through the woods, and I'd never been in the woods before.
Well.
And it was a trail, but yet there was others going on that trail too. But still, I didn't have a good feeling about all this because I was trying to rely on my wits, and I kind of felt like it. And I didn't have the grip that I needed to have on it. And it stayed that way until a little girl come along named Bobby Ann. And then some of that, most, a good part of it went away, but not fully.
Yeah.
I still got some of that. So, and I need prayers for that. And there's others that way. And so even though I spent a whole life, it seems like that things that goes around comes around again.
Amen. No new thing under the sun.
Yeah.
Solomon says.
So remember me as we go down through this journey, because there's still a need there. God bless.